episode 141 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Elizabeth, Laura, and Donna. As you know, we love cruising here at Outlander Travel. We love booking and planning cruises for our clients, and we love taking them as well. Recently, Elizabeth set sail aboard the Carnival Magic with a small group of her clients who love to game together. The biannual event is called Club Mace, and it gets better and better each year. But we are not here to talk about Dungeons and Dragons at sea, much to the chagrin of my husband. We are here to talk about the vessel that carried them this time, the Carnival Magic. So let's get started. So tell me about this amazing carnival ship and why I would want to sail on it.
So, it is really large for a carnival ship. So we've taken this group on the Fascination and the Fantasy before, or maybe it was the Ecstasy, whichever one was going out of Charleston at the time. And those are much smaller ships. They do have some of the Fun Ship 2.0, but this one sort of has everything, including the new Guy Fieri's Pagan Anchor, which is his second venture on Carnival. And I believe the Magic is the only one that has it. So this ship, when totally full, sails with 4,724. That's the max capacity of passengers. If it's all doubles, then it's only 3,690. So it just depends on how many families. And we were there, we were on it for July 4th week. So there were some families on it. There was a multitude of families. I'm pretty sure it was full. However, it was a great, there's so much to do. And I honestly, I'm fairly certain that I did not even see the whole ship. It was a 6-night, which is kind of a weird itinerary length. And, you know, when you're with a group, you tend to do things with the group or for the group or about the group. And so I had my efforts focused in a few places. That's not, I mean, if anybody from the group is listening, they're like, we never saw you. What are you talking about? So we can guess where I was. I totally won a ship on a stick because I play trivia. I love my ship trivia. I would say that it is a great ship for somebody who is used to sailing Royal or Norwegian and wants all those amenities but wants a lower price tag. I think the Magic really hits that well. It was a good price, good value, so many restaurants, tons to do.
So did they have a lot of specialty restaurants or were there?
There's a few. And that's the interesting thing too. I mean, Carnival is sort of, with all due respect to Carnival, they're kind of known for nickel and diming. And, there is a steakhouse that is additional. There's a chef's table, which I did, which incidentally is, I believe, unless my memory is wrong, which when you do the chef's table, you drink a lot of wine. So I could be wrong, but it may have been the best food that I've ever had at a chef's table on a ship, on any line. It's not Remy, but it's up there for sure. There is an Italian restaurant that is a surcharge at night for dinner, but during the day for lunch, it's a pasta bar. And they'll mix up, you basically, it's like you get a little menu and you're like, I'd like the spaghetti and I'd like Alfredo sauce and I'd like shrimp and chicken and mushrooms and, you know, whatever you want on it. Mm-hmm. And then they bring it to you. So it's sort of a sit down-ish kind of.
I think Robin mentioned something like that on the Vista too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
a seafood one on that one too.
It's so nice to be able to experience those pay restaurants, you know, during
the
day.
That is really cool.
I remember Robin said that same thing about lunch being free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now that's not true in the steakhouse. And the other interesting thing Carnival does, which you can see sometimes on other ships in certain ways, but they have some of their main, most popular steakhouse offerings. They have it in the main dining room every night for a $20 surcharge. So basically you can have the steakhouse meal without going to the steakhouse, which is sort of interesting. So if you can't get a reservation or if you don't feel like, if you just like your wait staff and want to eat with them every night, you can order the surf and turf from the main dining room And they'll just charge you the surcharge as if you had gone to the steakhouse.
So is that what the steakhouse cost?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it's $20 per.
When I did the Carnival Pride, we did the steakhouse like the first night, and the special was a free bottle of wine.
Yes, and that is true on Carnival. That's little. Yeah. That's a little hint that from you. Yes, if you go the first night, then your bottle. Yeah, there's a free bottle of wine.
Yeah,
we didn't because we were scheduled for the chef's table. Well, the first night actually for us, because it was a group, we wanted to eat with the group for the first night, and then the chef's table was our second night. So. Our fourth night was the steakhouse, which was my like birthday dinner number 6 or something. I've lost count of how many birthday celebrations I've had now.
Yeah, that wasn't even your birthday month anymore.
Well, it's within 30 days of my birthday. Within a week of my birthday.
Well, and you know, it sounds like Elizabeth, that if you have kids who if you took to a steak restaurant, they may not have options that they want. But staying in the main dining room, being able to order that is a really nice option.
Yes. Although I took my kids to the steakhouse and they loved it. Yeah, they loved it.
And younger kids.
Yes. And my daughter was very tempted to order the lobster from the menu on another night. Mm-hmm. And we were like, no, it's $20. But then, so the first night we saw there was a $20 surcharge for it. But the second night, there was a lobster on the menu complimentary, which... I honestly don't see in main dining rooms anymore when they're specialty dining. You rarely see it. And so it was, I sort of had to look twice. I was like, is that actually lobster? And it was a full size lobster tail. And I can attest it is the same lobster that they were serving in the steakhouse. Cause you know, we ordered it the next night and same size, everything. So
it was day old.
Yeah. What they didn't sell the night before. So but then they also have like, they have a coffee shop, I guess, a little coffee counter with specialty coffees that cost you money if you don't have a drink package. If you have the Cheers package, then they're complimentary. They're included, I should say. And they had some dessert selections, including things like chocolate covered strawberries and like these like really elaborate looking cakes, like mini cakes that were nice size for a decent price, somewhere between, you know, I don't remember how much the strawberries were each because I really didn't look, but I would say between $1 and $14 tops for one of the biggest desserts there. But a lot of them were under $5. For sure. And then, in the Red Frog Pub, they have pub food. So they had, coconut shrimp and it's kind of a Caribbean theme. And those were like, it was like $3 for a full size appetizer of shrimp. So it was really almost a convenience charge for it to be able to eat at the pub. But it was all pub bites. It wasn't like, I mean, you could make a meal out of the shrimp for sure, but it wasn't like a square meal like you would get somewhere else.
So the, I know the guys, burger joint is complimentary. Is the Pig and Anchor?
It is.
Oh, nice.
And it was good.
Yeah.
You know, coming from a barbecue state, it was a good barbecue. Huh. And macaroni and cheese, really good macaroni and cheese. I could have eaten that all day. Huh. It was only open on C days at lunch.
The Pig and Anchor?
The Pig and Anchor. Okay. Yeah. So it's only, I guess, a special, but it's complimentary. It's on, and it's on the deck. So, it's on deck 5. So you get to, it's sort of, you're served outside. So it even has a little bit more of a barbecue feel, although there's not usually an ocean near my barbecue, but, there's lots of seating out there. It's really nice. And the Red Frog Pub has seating outside as well, sort of on the deck where you can go outside and
it's cool.
It is really nice.
How was the burger joint?
So good. Mm-hmm. So good. It was
really good.
It was all I dreamed it would be and more. Yeah. You know, people talk about it being the best burgers on the ocean. And I don't know if that's completely true, but I haven't had a better burger on the ocean. Usually they're sort of the prepackaged, you know, almost like Bubba's Burgers. Nothing against Bubba's Burgers. I put them on my own grill. But, you know, it's a different sort of thing. These are hand pattied burgers, odd shapes. I mean, you could tell that this was done by hand. It's not, and this, the melty cheese and then his sauces are really good. His barbecue sauce, I've been to his restaurant in New York and asked if they bottled it, assuming that they did because hello, sell everything that you can. And they don't. I couldn't.
You didn't have to book a cruise to buy a burger.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first place I went. Everybody else is at the buffet. I'm at Guy's.
Yeah.
Although there was a line at Guy's as well. So
when I was on the Carnival, the people working at the Guy's joint were so fun. They were like dancing and singing on the pool deck. They were.
No, these guys were all business.
Really?
I have to say, yeah. I mean, they weren't unpleasant, but they were all business.
These guys were so fun.
Yeah. No, I was a little intimidated by them, actually. I was like, I wasn't sure if I was going to get what I wanted. And, So they're very much about an assembly line there. That said, it was still good. I mean, you know, everything has its mood, and the food was great. The fries are really good.
Yeah,
the fixins bar is really impressive. Lots of mushrooms and onions and things like that. So yeah, honestly, as a person who really enjoys good food on cruise ships, I'm usually not thrilled with Carnival for food quality. I was delighted with everything. I mean, I really didn't have anything that I was disappointed. And like I said, the chef's table was extraordinary. The chef's table on this ship is actually in the galley. So we were eating in the kitchen, and it was just fantastic.
So how many people were joining you?
It was it's 12 person table.
Yeah.
So there were 10 other people other than Chris and myself.
And is that something your travel agent can book for you ahead of time, or do you have to book on the ship?
You can book it ahead of time, but the way you book it, they don't assign it until you get on board. Well, I'm sure they assign it before, but they don't tell you when you get to go. So you don't know what night you're going until you get on board. I assume you have an out if you need it. And if you've made any other dining reservations, like if you've also reserved the steakhouse, they would make sure that those two things don't, because the steakhouse you do reserve for a particular, you know, time.
Yeah.
So they would make sure that you don't have both scheduled on the same night. But, and I don't know if they do the chef's table every night. I didn't ask because I was just so intrigued, you know, by the food and the presentation. I just sort of enjoyed the moment and stopped working for a little bit. But, I would assume that they do it as many times as they can. It's all timed so beautifully. You know, they talk to you a little bit before, and then they bring you into the kitchen, into an area that's a little less busy, the cold bar area, until all the hot plates have gone out. And then they take you back into the galley to see where the hot plates are done. And then you come back down, you sit down, you eat a little bit, you get about halfway through, and then you get to go see how they make chocolate melting cake. And then you come back and finish your meal. So.
And just as somebody who's never done a chef's table, is there like a set menu, like you eat what they're going to serve you?
Yes. Yeah. Chef's table is always like that. Now they do ask you ahead of time if you have any allergies, and that will be accommodated. So there was one dish that we had. Now I don't remember what it was, but there was somebody like two plates down from me who obviously had an allergy because hers looked different. They had finished the preparation differently. I don't know if maybe it had like, might have been the thing that had squid ink bread or something, and she had a seafood this just tastes like bread, but she had a seafood allergy, so she couldn't have squid ink, so she had a plain bread, I guess. I didn't ask, but yeah. It definitely wasn't the black bread that the rest of us had, so.
So all this food talk is making me very thirsty. Tell me about Alchemy Bar.
I did splurge and get a drink package on this cruise, and I still sort of stand by the fact that I'm not always sure the drink package pays for itself. Mm-hmm. But one nice thing that Carnival does is they give you a very generous per drink limit, so you can spend up to $50 on a drink, and it counts in the package.
Wow!
I looked and I could not find a $50 drink, but there is there's a pink champagne that I heard about several times. That's like $20 a glass. I didn't try it, but so the great thing about the Alchemy Bar, if you know me beyond my beer enthusiasm, you know that I love handcrafted cocktails. I like things where, you know, the juice is fresh and they add, you know, herbs and, you know, various things to it. And so I was really looking forward to the Alchemy Bar. I did not participate in it the way that most people would, where you sit down and you talk to the bartender and say, I'm feeling a little, you know, like I want something fruity. And I didn't do that because the menu was so intriguing to me that I wanted to try some of the things that were on the menu. And I thought, I'll work my way through this and then I'll ask him to make me something. And I never got to that. I'll ask him to make me something. So I had this martini that I actually had several times because they actually set an orange on fire when they present it to you.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was really cool. It was actually, so he just did the zest, the rind of the orange, just cut off a piece of it. And then he squeezed it between his fingers and set a lighter to it until it got really hot. And then he squeezed it. And I don't know if it's the juice or what, once it gets that hot, it just like, our listeners can't see my hand gestures, but it just shot out a little flame. It was so cool. And then he drops he actually used the orange to do sort of the oil essence on the rim and then dropped it into the drink. So yeah, it was really cool. I'm a big fan of the Alchemy Bar, and I wish there were more bars like that. Disney Cruise Line has a really nice martini bar with handcrafted cocktails, and I would compare it to that for sure. This one's out more out in the open. The one at Disney Cruise Line is in the adult-only area, and it's a little bit more closed in and a little bit more atmospheric. The Alchemy Bar is sort of, it's right next to the Red Frog Pub on this ship, and it's very accessible and open. They also, interestingly, this bar does not stock sodas, So, like, if kids want to get a soda on their Cheers packet, they have to go to the Red Frog. They can't. There's nothing at the Alchemy Bar for them.
So there's no, like, rum and cokes at the Alchemy Bar?
Well, no. I mean, yeah, I didn't order one. Maybe I could have tried, but they probably would have asked me to change my mind on that and steer me away from that. Yeah, it seemed like they were much more about less basic ingredients.
So since you got the drink package, did you have to get it for your husband, too?
No, we had two cabins.
Oh.
Yeah, so he was technically on one. Yeah, we however, he did get it because he started drinking ciders, and he drinks smoothies, and he drinks specialty coffees. So he wanted to get it as well.
Nice.
Yeah. Even if it doesn't pay for itself, the convenience is really, really nice.
And yeah, it's that not having to worry and budgeting for your trip before you go.
And not looking at a drink and thinking, $14? Good gravy. No, I don't want to pay that.
Look at this $50 champagne.
But I was, my son really likes smoothies and like virgin daiquiris. Mm. And so I gave him a limit of how much money he could spend on them. Mm. And I thought it was going to get him one a day, but it actually got him two. The smoothies were only like $5.95. So, and he had $50 to spend on it. When I gave him that budget, I was thinking that they were 10, but they weren't. They were much less expensive than I thought they were. So that was kind of a nice treat too. They may nickel and dime you, but it's still nickels and dimes, as opposed to lots of dollars.
Did you have a favorite cocktail?
That one with the orange peel was really good. I want to call it, it was something like something seduction. I didn't write it down.
You take a picture of the menu?
No, and the menu lights up and everything. I bet it's online, though, if you find it. It's the first item on the left.
So he saved you money on the smoothies to spend it in the arcade?
Yes, yes. We had a little incident, but it's all good. We tried to let the kids have their own charging privileges, and they didn't realize how quickly arcade games added up. But they know now.
Did you check your bill daily and find out?
We found out on the second day. Well, basically, I was always asking them where they'd been and what they'd been doing. And, I had given permission for, five arcade games. They sort of lost control. And they came back from the arcade. I was like, what have you been doing? And they're like, playing arcade games. I was like, how many games did you play? And I got that sort of deer in headlights look. And I was like, oh, let's go on down to guest services, shall we? So it wasn't so bad.
It's kind of like when texting first came out.
Yeah.
And my sister grabbed me and she said, well, you're adorable nephew. Just ran up $300 in texting for
me. Yeah.
Because you could like do so many and then it was over it. And there was a girl and it was all over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness for unlimited data. So, yeah.
So what about the kids' clubs? Did your kids go to this?
So, not really. It was funny. So the kids' clubs on Carnival are kind of quirky to me because they're not all open at the same time. So if the little kids' club is open, then the medium kids' club is not open. Hmm. And the teen club is not open. They share counselors. So the hours are kind of funky.
Yeah.
And then they offer babysitting earlier than other cruise lines do, in some cases. So where you have to pay for it. So my kids were registered and they had the ability to go. The two times my son tried to go, one time they were just shutting down. And then the other time, they were doing something that he wasn't terribly interested in doing, I think he said. And my daughter had the same situation. She walked into the teen club one day and everybody walked out at the same time. Like they were going to do some sort of activity. So then there was nobody left in there and she didn't necessarily want to do the activity. She just wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
So they didn't really use them. They're nice facilities and both the tween and teen clubs are great, like hangout rooms. They just, they've got a nice space. And the kids club seemed, to have plenty to do as well. And my son was intrigued by it when we got on board. But again, the ship has so much going on. So for my older children, especially because they're experienced cruisers and they know their way around a cruise ship, especially once we turned off their charging privileges, they were just sort of allowed to roam freely. They had some rules about charging when we started and they followed them. There is a candy store on board. And my daughter has kind of got a weakness for candy. So, we said you can go once and so see how much you spend. And then she wasn't able to go back because by then her charging privileges had been cut off. So she was smart to go early and get a big bag of candy. But again, she got a decent sized bag of candy for like $15. So it wasn't, I mean, for a candy store. We have them here. She'll spend a lot more than that a lot faster.
Did you remember the story when my dad took the kids and bought like $60 worth of M&Ms because they were by weight in Myrtle Beach?
Yeah.
Sure, kids, here, fill up your bags.
Yeah, they did. They had some chocolate, but, and I asked her, you know, how she found the candy place to be, because she is sort of a connoisseur. She was like, it was average, you know, it's good, some good stuff, but it wasn't, you know, like we have a line here called Rocket Fizz. We have a few stores here, and Rocket Fizz is just a really cool candy store and has a wide variety of stuff, not only candy by the pound, but other stuff.
The Japanese soda.
Yeah. The one on the ship, though, they do have a lot of merchandise, including, like, you can buy the Alchemy Bar shakers, which I thought was interesting that I found those in the candy shop, and rocks glasses. But they had towels and blankets and, you know, like all sorts of merchandise related to candy as well. So the kids were really intrigued by it, but alas, they spent.
I'm surprised, though, that they didn't staff the kids clubs for longer, like all of them at the same time on 4th of July week.
It does seem odd. And I think it's just normal for Carnival. And had we really been paying attention, we could have gotten them to the kids clubs. It's just my kids were occupied and we were traveling with other families. We were traveling with a group. So they had friends to hang out with. So, for them, it just, they were much more interested in the ropes course. This ship has a ropes course on it with a zip line and, also, waterworks, you know, a couple of water slides. As well. So I meant to ask you, the water slide on Norwegian with the toilet bowl one.
Yeah.
Is that the end of the slide or do you go down further after the toilet bowl?
You go around and around till you go through the hole.
Yeah. So that's what I was expecting, but Carnival's, that's the end of the slide. So you go around like almost like half a time and then it slows you down and then you step off.
Up and walk
yeah,
off.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you had to like go into the hole and flush.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm expecting. So.
It's a toilet bowl.
A toilet bowl is found in your bathroom in your home, Laura. No, fortunately, our audience couldn't see that either. It's a water slide, but in the center of the water slide, or in this case, at the end of the water slide, is basically it shoots you out into this thing that
like a basin,
and on the Norwegian one, the water is flowing enough that you actually go around it a couple of times and then go down the hole, just like a toilet bowl
into the rest of the slide.
But this one, that part of the slide was sort of out in the open. I mean, that was the end of it.
That's interesting.
You lost your velocity once you hit it.
So did they do movies on deck?
They do. Every night, two movies. And we had a special week because of the July 4th. So on July 4th, they showed Independence Day.
That's cool.
But they had themes for them. So like the last night was family night and they showed Moana. And before that, they showed, what was the other one? I can't remember. Do you remember? No, the Shack was, so the second to last night was drama night and they showed the Shack and then Hidden Figures.
Oh, cool. I've been wanting to see that.
Yeah. So one night they showed the John Wick chapter 2. That was their later one. The first night was a family night and they showed Boss Baby and, I can't remember, but they did good. Oh, Lego Batman. Lego Batman was on the last night. First
so stuff that's like, you know.
Pretty current. Yeah. Out of theaters, but just out of DVD. Theaters. Yeah. With the exception of Independence Day, which is like.
Did they do like the popcorn? And
There is popcorn on deck. Yeah. And they had, I think they had some like special, the towel service was out. So if it was a little chilly, you could use the towels. And I had no trouble finding a seat for Hidden Figures. That was the only one I watched. I love the experience of watching a movie outside, but I don't want to do it every single night because it's like, you know, so I picked Hidden Figures.
You sit on the deck chairs, Elizabeth?
You do. You sit on the deck chairs, or they call them dive-in movies on Carnival. The pool is open, so you can actually swim and watch as well. So I think that's what Marcus did the first night was he went swimming and he loved it and he loves going to movies on ships. And then there's also entertainment and there's live entertainment. There's the comedians, which I never do the comedy club, so I can't tell you anything about it.
Carnival comedy clubs are so good. The George Lopez?
Well, there's not George Lopez anymore.
Really?
Yeah, that branding's gone.
Oh, so. That didn't last very long.
Yeah.
They actually bring in comedians from time to time or special acts.
Yeah.
Some of their cruises, and you just have to check and see when they're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so there's always some comedian on. It's just whether or not they're any good. And I just never.
Did they have the Hasbro stuff?
They did have the Hasbro games. They did a cool. So I love the gaming part of it, the trivia and all that. I played bingo once. It was not a remarkable bingo game. But they do a clue game all week long. And so on the first day, they introduce you to these characters, the clue characters, and they tell you a little bit of a storyline. And then there's one time every day, there's an appointed time. It's on the daily schedule for when you can go get a clue. And they basically read a little bit of a story that gives one character, one weapon, and one area an alibi. So, you know, so-and-so witnessed Mrs. Peacock in, you know, in the kitchen.
Ben and Mustard.
Right, exactly. And so you can eliminate those people. So if you go to all five of those clues, then you, by the end, by process of elimination, know who won. And then, who killed Mr. Body. And then that you, if you put your guess on a piece of paper and you put it into a box and they draw it out. And if yours is right and they draw it out, then you get the prize. If they draw your name and it's wrong, then they don't even, they just say, oh, that's wrong. Because the first one she drew out, she was like, oh, wrong answer. So you can just go and guess if you'd like, but you do have to guess all three, the person, location, and the, so yeah, they carry that through. And then, my son went and watched the Hasbro game show that they did. He wanted us to come down, but by the time I got there, it was at the very end. So all I saw was like but they bring Monopoly into it. And there, yeah, there's a few other. So, yeah, totally fun branding kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What kind of prizes do they usually give away?
For the most part, so lots of ships on a stick. They have these really super inexpensive, shall we say, trophies. They look like they have some weight to them, but they do not. and medals. For
ships
the trivia
on
that
a
I
stick?
Ships on a stick is what they're called. They're trophies. It's a ship on a stick.
The base also.
I actually might have one lying around. I can show it to you.
Yeah.
So Chris was on my team as well as one of the other people we're traveling with. And so we each got one when we won. We won one of the general knowledge ones, but they had two Name That Tune ones, which actually we did tie for first for one of the Name That Tune ones. But then this guy asked to see the medal and broke it. It's a long story. and so I was supposed to go back and get another one, but I didn't bother. So there were two Name That Tune ones that were like live piano, which is my favorite. And then there were a couple that were music snippets. One was One Hit Wonders, which we did really well on, but somebody got all of them correct, which is unheard of. Yeah. They got 30 points out of 30. They did one on Friends. They did one on Big Bang Theory. So there were a couple of like really niche ones that I couldn't participate in since I don't watch television. The trivia was fun. The entertainment, I'm always very judgy about. Carnival's entertainment, it tends to be very Vegas style. Mm-hmm. And one of my least favorite things about cruise ship shows is because they're trying to appeal to all audiences, the reviews they put together are rather nonsensical sometimes. They just pull together a whole bunch of songs in the hope that it all makes sense.
It's like Myrtle Beach Theater. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it certainly has its place, but I prefer a show to be really well put together. Well, I have to say these shows, and I can only speak for the magic at this point, but these were far better put together. The musical choices they made and the artistic way that they brought them together made a lot more sense. Things were grouped together a little bit more logically. It just made a lot of sense. The shows that we saw were, there was one called Flick, which was music from the movies. And it even included a little section on John Williams music, and they used these laser, lights where he actually was able to pick it up. So when the Star Wars music came on, it looked like he had lightsabers in his hands. It's really cool. There was one called 88 Keys, which was all rock piano music. So a lot of Billy Joel, a lot of Elton John, and then various others, classics, a little Captain and Tennille. The last one was America Rocks, which was very America. Very America. Lots of red, white, and blue, lots of denim, some Springsteen, some Skinner, some, Bon Jovi. Like there was the Springsteen and Bon Jovi was together. It was like they had a little New Jersey section. They had a Southern rock section. They had a women section, which included Blondie, which was interesting to me because I was considered her a little bit more punk than rock, but it worked. Mm-hmm. So, although they did call me with cell phones, which was weird to me as well. But anyway, you know,
because they're all millennials and they don't have a hard time with
cell phones. Yeah, the future.
Yeah, it was very strange. But in general, much better constructed the shows were.
Cool.
So, go ahead.
It sounds like that you had a lot of fun running around. Did you get sore and tired and maybe take a trip to the spa.
We knocked that out first thing because we were already tired when we came on board. Both Chris and I went. I actually had a massage and a facial. He had a bamboo massage, so he had a little bit more of an intense massage than I did.
That does sound intense.
It is, but he enjoys that. Mm-hmm.
And nice where they beat you up and
you feel better later. You thank them for it. It was nice. The spa and Carnival they don't give you lockers or anything. It's some cruise lines do, some don't. So if you're used to a land spa where you sort of have that whole day spa thing, there is a relaxation room that you can buy a pass all day. And there's a tip for you. If you purchase that pass before you get on board, it's 20% off. So it's less than $100 for the pass for the whole week. It is a nice relaxation room. I did sort of peek in there, with like those heated tile seats and things like that. Nice. And the steam and the aroma steam thing. And so, yeah, that looked very relaxing. Lindsay would have been very happy there all week long. So it's a nice size area, and the views actually were really lovely from the massage room. Sometimes you don't get to really appreciate the view because they'll close it for, you know, they'll close the windows for darkness or whatever, but they left them light. It was sort of similar. If Lindsay, if you've ever had like an outdoor massage, like in a hut or something like that, it felt a lot more.
Oh yeah,
like
she
that.
Has. On that island in the Bahamas that I was also walking around the island. Remember she was saying she could hear me talking?
Yeah. So we have experienced a little technical problem during our recording of this podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and close out the podcast now. We lost internet here. So unfortunately, it's just Sandy and I. That's not unfortunate because we're awesome, right? So we should just take it over. We'll just close it out. So I think we pretty much covered it. Basically, my summary there is the Carnival Magic is really awesome and a great value. If the itinerary suits you and you want a larger ship experience, I think it's a big win. So did you have any other questions before?
No, I think it sounds really cool. I mean, I'd love to hear about Amber Cove, but we can do that on another podcast.
Yeah, and Lindsay talked about it on her Fathom podcast as well. So,
yeah.
Okay, well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on anything except for the technical issues on this episode or any episode, really. So to leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or just search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Lindsay, Laura, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!